For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's the world that we left this morning to come here to remember our Lord and Savior today around the table of the Lord. It's true we live in a world that is very sick and demented. They chase after fantasies and delusions. They believe man rather than believing God. They see strange things. You hear stories about the woman that calls her family to gather around a door where the wood grain in the door is an image of Jesus Christ. And they all praise it like it is some kind of something that is sent from God to ease your pain. Ease the mother's pain that owns the door. And they even said that they were going to remodel the home, but now they're going to keep that door because it's something that was sent from God. Not too long ago, also, there was a story on the news where a lot of people were gathering under a bridge, staring at a wall where there was a crack that a water stain there also was some kind of image of God, of our God's Son. And they believed that it was. And they prayed before it, and they traveled long distance just to see it. They put those candles in front of it, and all it really was is just a stain on the wall. And you start to wonder if the world really will be that excited when the day of Christ does come and Christ does return. There's many in the world that say they believe in Jesus Christ and that they believe in God. But I often wonder if the same people in our world that, you know, that line up for days and days to see dead presidents and dead supreme justices and to line the streets to see a political figure. I remember working at Fadel, how many employees left work just to see the Pope, that they might be able to see him or get a, or even greater, that he might even touch their hand. He's just a spiritual icon. He has no power. The fact of the matter is Christ is coming. And it's a simple phrase. Lots of people say that he's coming. But when you stop and really put into perspective how great that day is when Christ will return, all of our dread and our heartache, the sicknesses that we endure, the disappointments, the falling down and the getting back up, our past lives will look quite minuscule to the return of Christ. Although what happened in our lives will affect what happens at the judgment seat. And then, even after Christ returns, there's an even greater day. It's 1,000 years after Christ returns, and that's when God Almighty, the Creator, comes with all His angels and all His power and all His might for us and to be here on earth and for us to dwell with Him. But first, we need to get past, and that's a very big day. Thanks, James. That's a very big day when God comes. But we first have to get past the first part, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. We need to receive God's great grace, which is getting life even though we don't deserve it, and mercy, the thing not getting death even though we do deserve death. at the judgment seat, and to be found acceptable, and to be given the gift of eternal life, and to enter into the kingdom. I'd be lying to you if I said that I don't have fear for that day, because I know how far short I come of God's glory. Fear even speaking in front of you. Fear is not a pleasant feeling. And to live a life of fear is a horrible thing. Fear, we have fear because you only have fear when you feel weakness and helplessness that you can't control what's going to happen. Letting fear control your life is a bad thing. But the fear of God is there to motivate us to do something about it, to take a look at ourselves and to react and make corrections. We wouldn't have to fear God if we didn't sin. Everything in the garden was all good before Adam and Eve sinned, but then there was that day that they did sin, and they hid from God because they were afraid. And we need to be afraid of God if we don't react and ask for forgiveness and believe and get baptized. We have God's words with us to show us the way to salvation. It's the Bible, and we are very thankful that He gave that to us. In Acts verse 13, verse 26, it says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." While we are here in the process of working out our salvation, we should maintain a very healthy terror, fear of God. And we get that with the same conclusion that is substantiated in the Bible and other places of the Bible. For example, in Hebrews 10, verse 31, we read that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In the future, our impending judgment that is coming will certainly be contemplated in terror if we have been unfaithful in our walk. Our understanding and appreciation for a real fear of God is further complicated by the fact that we live in a world today that can be compared in the writings of Paul in Romans chapter 3, verse 18. "For same in those days," we read, "that there is no fear of God before their eyes." The world we live in today is also an age of irreverence. There is no respect for any authority, no respect for God and or parents. The Christian world outside our walls believe the delusion of the Trinity. They place God at the same level as Christ, and Christ they place at the same level as them, as a friend and good buddy. As followers of Christ, we understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we read that in Psalms 111, verse 10. This fear should be reserved only for God and not man. We're told plainly in the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." It is unfortunate that the world we live in, that man neither respects nor has terror for the Creator. They show a total disregard of God and His Son. They laugh at those that believe in God. You hear people in the world that can't even admit that they do anything wrong, and that they deserve life, and they can go about their lives and do just whatever they feel like doing. They mold God into being what they want Him to be, rather than what God really is. In Luke 21, verses 25 through 26, we read of Christ's prophecy of the last days, when there shall be, verses 25 and 26, that there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations which with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, that men's hearts will fail them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on earth. And for our own balance in this difficult age, we must learn to fear God and not man. Then we will be able to understand the relationship between a terror fear and a reverential fear of God. You sometimes want to keep these two concepts separated, but there really is nothing wrong with the fact that they often work well together. Moses, in the presence of the Lord, trembled. If we have great reverence for God, then there will be a degree of terror associated with being in His presence, especially when we realize that it is by His grace alone that we have any hope of salvation, because we deserve death. In 1 John, chapter 4, verses 15 through 19, it says, "Whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." Excuse me. If there is to be a transition from the two meanings of a terror fear and a reverential fear, then These verses reveal that it is only found by love. It is only through perfect love that we may have the boldness and assurance in that day of judgment. Our love of God then must be complete or fulfilled before we can hope to make the transition from terror to reverence. How many of us will ever reach this point of perfection? The perfect love, where we will have enough unselfish love of God and for our neighbor, so that we will have an assurance that He will provide us with the crown of righteousness. The reality is that we live our entire lives in the process of development, striving for this perfection of our faith. We reach out constantly to try to understand agape love, which is God, and we may never really grasp just how great that love is until the day at the judgment seat when we get firsthand the great grace from our Father in heaven. Before we can ever expect to cast out fear through perfect love, we must first learn to fear. When we have been able to demonstrate a fear of God in our lives, when we have understood that we'll always remain on a level that is inferior and one that demands respect, when we've learned to love God enough and to forsake self enough, only then can we hope that we will not be terrified by whatever prospect He may decree for us in accordance to His will. Until we reach that level of perfection, we are told in Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." We are here today to remember Christ in thanksgiving. We are taught that we should be followers of Christ. One of the characters that Christ displayed was so prophetically described by Isaiah in chapter 11 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 through 3. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." This man is our Lord and Master. He knew enough to maintain an exceeding fear of his Father during the time that he was here with us on earth. We are definitely a big step below Christ in both stature and status. And we need to remember and apply the words that we read in the end of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Where it says, "For let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." May We do the things that God expects us to do and be obedient. For it is if we do those things, it's through God's grace and His great mercy that we all might receive the gift of life eternal.